Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everyone. As a shout out to those who are downstairs on level one, good morning and welcome to the Covenant EFC, especially for the newcomer downstairs. We acknowledge you and we recognize your presence here in the sanctuary with us. It's such a joy to be with you. I always feel like I'm coming home to Bukit Panjang every time when I come. So many familiar faces, people I grew up with, Sunday school teachers that taught me. Don't know whether it's a joy or terror for them to see me again, but I'm here. Pastor Kay Kiong asked me to share a little bit of what I do because I'm not usually based here in Bukit Panjang. I'm based in Woodlands Centre. I help co-lead a district at Woodlands. Alongside that, I have the privilege to also serve as the pastor in charge for our young adults in Covenant. So if you are 19 years old all the way to 35 years old, I'm your pastor in charge that's supposed to care for you through the different transitions you face across our three centers. So that's what I do in Covenant EFC, even though you don't see me in person, more often see me online as I service lead at Woodlands. But nonetheless, it's always a joy to be with you here at Bukit Panjang and the East as well. 18 June 2023. That was the day when a five-person submersible named the Titan was scheduled to go on a deep sea exploration to the depths of the shipwreck of the Titanic. Over here, you see a picture of the submersible, not very big. It carries about five people. Dimensions are 2.8 times 6.7. And over here, you see there are five people in this submersible, of which one of them is the CEO of Ocean Gate Corporation, which is the one that sanctioned this deep sea exploration. So they were scheduled to dive into the ocean on that particular date. But after 1 hour, 45 minutes, they lost all communications with the surface. And people, upon further searching for them, found the submersible to have imploded somewhere in the depths of the ocean. And that resulted into a formal investigation into what happened. And one of the news agencies, The New Yorker, actually followed along the story of what exactly led to that. And they found that actually in January 2018, one of the principal engineers named Lockridge actually flagged out issues with the project. There were many things wrong with the submersible, from glue coming off, from materials being corroded as a result of exposure to the seawater, and more importantly, the hull of the submersible, which was made of carbon fiber, was found to be inferior for the sea environment. It was coming apart, as highlighted by the engineer. But nonetheless, the CEO, Stockton Rush, true to his surname, rushed through that process and eventually led to what happened on 18 June 2023, the implosion. In this tragic incident, we see two fundamental failures of integrity. The first is the integrity of the CEO. Despite knowing and recognizing the issues faced, he still went ahead to go with the exploration. That's the first failure of integrity. The second failure of integrity is, of course, the structural integrity, where the materials used were not able to withstand the pressures of the sea current. This morning, we'll come to learn on a very important theme, which is the area of holy integrity. As we look at the scriptures, we come to learn on how are we to live with integrity so that as the world comes to tell us what life should look like, we are reminded, as the pressures come, we can stand firm and not implode, just like the submersible, when the pressures of the world come creeping in. But before I do so, let me pray for us. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your word that is timely and timeless. We ask of you right now that you remove every distraction in our midst so that we can tune in to the frequency of the voice of our Father. And so would you empower us. May your word this morning take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the preaching team, Pastor Edmund Wong, Pastor Kai, and myself, we titled this week's sermon as Holy Integrity in a Broken World. And before we dive into the text this morning, it's important for us to know where we are at on the roadmap through the book of Leviticus. So for those of you who are new in our midst, we are in the book of Leviticus for 2024. And this is where we're at in our journey. We are currently on the sixth bubble called Holy Living. And last week, Pastor Kay Kiong focused on a specific area of holy living, which is sexual wholeness and sexual holiness. This week, we are going to talk about a different aspect of holy living, which is living with godly, holy integrity in the world we live in. So that's where we're at in our roadmap. And follow along with us. We are about more than halfway done. So we are excited. We're excited to finish well. This morning, we'll come to learn about two non-negotiables in order for us to live with holy integrity. But before we do so, let's stand to our feet as we read the scriptures together. So for those of you who are downstairs as well, could you join me here in level 2? Stand up together as we read the scriptures, both in level 1 and also in level 2. Shall we read it together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall know no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people and shall not stand against of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. It's beautiful to hear everyone read scripture together, and I trust those at level one as well were reading out loud. The first non-negotiable that we come to learn for us to live with holy integrity is that we are to stay true in our allegiance to God. Would you turn to someone next to you now and say, would you stay true? Stay true. Stay true. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you take out your Bibles, both either physical or electronic, and follow along with me as we read and uncover the Word of God together? So in Leviticus 19, we see that there is a common refrain or a phrase that is used time and time again, especially in the passage that we just read. And the common phrase that we see repeated is the phrase, I am the Lord. In verse 12, in verse 14, in verse 16, and verse 18, the phrase, I am the Lord, it's repeated again and again and again. In fact, not just in 12 to 18, we see that actually in the whole of Leviticus 19, the phrase, I am the Lord, is repeated 15 times. 15 times. To give us some context of Leviticus 19, it is part of God's instruction to his people. specifically in the area of how they are to conduct themselves in living with each other, in living in the world. Because He is a holy God and He calls His people, likewise, to live a life that is set apart, different from the world, so that they reflect who He is in His character. So in Leviticus 19, God deals specifically with the idea and the focus of loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor. And there are two key areas that He expounds on. Firstly is generosity, and the other in the area of integrity. But this morning, we're going to focus on the theme of integrity, which is the passage that we just read. And one of the things as we read this passage, we come to bear that fundamental question that we are faced with. As we read all the different instructions that God calls His people to, He reminds His people and He asks the question, where lies your allegiance? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. The reader can't help but come to face this question, where lies your allegiance? God is asking, who is the Lord of your life? If you say that I am the Lord of your life, then there is a particular way that you are called to live. And you know, the idea of integrity, one of the words that often is used to reflect and understand integrity is the word tamim. Tamim. And it's this idea of complete, whole, blameless. And right now, I'm going to show us a few passages of how this word tamim is used so that we begin to understand what does the scripture say with regards to godly, holy integrity. Okay, so here are a few passages that I've highlighted. Of course, it's not exhaustive, but here are some of the passages. Somehow, they all translated to blameless in the translations. So for example, Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man. Blameless in his generation, Noah walked with God. Genesis 17:1, God speaking to Abram, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Deuteronomy 18:13, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. 2 Samuel 22:24, I was blameless before Him and I kept myself from guilt. Psalm 119 verse 1, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. The red words are those translated as blameless as tamim, okay? And as astute students of the word, as regular worshippers in Covenant EFC, do you see any interconnectedness between tamim and something else? Give us like 5 seconds. Any interconnectedness, what do you see? If we look closely, we will actually begin to see there is an interconnectedness between integrity and walking with God. In order for us to have holy integrity, it requires for us to walk with God. It requires us to walk with God, to live in His ways. Psalm 119 says to walk in the law of the Lord. It is impossible for us to have any holy integrity if we are not walking with the Lord, if God is not the Lord of our lives. In other words, holy integrity essentially is having the fear of the Lord. That's the basis and the foundation for us to live with holy integrity. And so it's a call for us to be obedient in the ways of God. Now, of course, as we think about this, sometimes what we say we believe may not be consistent with what we really believe. So we have to ask ourselves our question. When we say that we are disciples of Jesus, we are followers of God, do we really believe that? But more importantly, are we living out that belief? You know, I was having a conversation, or rather having dinner once a few years ago with a group of people I'm not very close with, and I overheard a conversation And person A went, "Oh, I didn't know you are a Christian. I thought you were a free thinker." And this is what person B said. Person B went, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. On paper, I'm a Christian. My IC Christian. When people ask me what religion, I put Christian. But I don't read the Bible. I also don't go to church. But sometimes I pray. Sometimes I pray when I'm in need of help. But yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian." Now let's pause here for a second. Do we see any inconsistencies with what person B is saying? Person B says and claims that they are a Christian. But from the way person B live their lives, does it reflect the reality? From person B's perspective, it seems and it feels like God is like an app in our phone. You take out this app. This app is called GOD, God on Demand. You click, you open up, then God, poof, comes out. "Good morning, welcome to GOD, how may I help you?" And then person B types in all the things, "Oh, I'm feeling down, I need help with this." And then God will come out, "Oh, thank you. Here are some options you can consider. Let us know how else we can help you." Then after that, person B click this, and then finish everything. Then God will poof, come out again. "Thank you for using GOD. We hope to see you again. Please rate our services from 1 to 5. See you soon." Then poof, God goes off. And then app close. God is compartmentalized. Person B continues to live their lives aside from God. My friend, sometimes we are like person B, where we compartmentalize God and we continue to live our lives as though we are the Lord of our lives. Billy Graham once said this. He said, "Integrity means that if our private life was suddenly exposed, we'd have no reason to be ashamed or embarrassed. Integrity means our outward life is consistent with our inner convictions." How many of you love going to Malaysia? Show of hands. Those downstairs as well. A lot of people like to go to Woodlands because after that they go to Malaysia. No, I'm just kidding. But many times, people love going to Malaysia because good food, good price, Malaysia boleh. But in recent times, a lot of news reports have come up with Singaporeans not obeying the law in Malaysia. Whether it be pumping 3-quarter tank before entering Malaysia, or in more recent case, pumping RON 95 instead of 98 that's mandated by Malaysia. And so many people online went and commented saying, "Wow, all these people bring Singapore's name down. Don't call yourself Singaporeans. You bring Singapore a bad name." Then as I read these comments, I'm just thinking to myself, that's exactly what happens to us. When we say we are followers of Jesus, when we say that we are Christians, do we live out that reality to our friends, to our neighbors? And if we don't, what happens is that it gives God a bad name. And so as we pause here for a moment, the question that we are faced with is there any area of life that is inconsistent with what we believe and how we live? And I pray and hope that as you go back home later on, that you will ask God to search your heart, to ask Him, is there any area in my life that is inconsistent to how you are calling me to live as a follower of Jesus? So take some time as you go back today and ask the Lord this, so that we can live consistently for Him. But not only are we called to stay true in our allegiance to God, the second non-negotiable that we come to learn is that we are called to see through in our actions towards others. So if you have your Bibles with me, let's dive deep now into verses 11 through 18. It's important for us to recognize that as we do so, this is written in the context of ancient Israel. So there are some things that you don't understand why God said it. But there's a reason, because God is speaking to a people in ancient Israel. So there are certain practices that they have that we don't have. But nonetheless, the principles still remain the same. So look with me now to verse 11 and 12. Now, as you see, verse 11 and 12 are paired together, as for 13 and 14, 15 and 16. So they're all paired up. And the pairs focus on a particular area and theme. For verse 11 and 12, it talks about not stealing, not dealing falsely. The idea of dealing falsely here in verse 11 is the idea of not keeping your end of the commitment that you have made. Not keeping the end of the commitment that you have made. And I trust every one of us had at some point done so, where we say that we want to do something, but in the end, we did not follow through. And God calls His people, because you are my people, because I am a holy God, you shall live in a way that reflects who I am. That when I say what I am going to do, I will do it. Because that's a reflection of who God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that's the reason why He calls us to do likewise. In verse 12, then He goes on to say, you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. Now, this is something that we need to have some understanding in ancient Israel. See, when someone commits a crime, for example, they commit a crime of stealing, one of the things that happens is that they have to go for a court hearing, a local court hearing. And the first thing that the accused has to do is to take an oath. An oath. And the accused will take an oath in the name of God. Now, the significance of taking an oath in the name of God is because what this does is that you're inviting God into the court hearing. You're inviting Him to be one of the witnesses to the court's hearings. And also inviting Him to be one of the judges. And so there's significance behind it, because whatever the person says after taking an oath is supposed to be truthful, because it reflects who God is. And if God is the witness, it means that whatever you say, it better be true. And God tells His people, unlike the other nations in the land, as my people, you shall not swear by my name falsely. You shall only tell the truth. That's what God is saying here in their context that we see. Let's move on to verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14 deals with those who are vulnerable. Those who are vulnerable in our society, the least, the last, and the lost. Verse 13 talks about how you shall not oppress your neighbor. Now, in ancient Israel, many people live by hand to mouth. What that means is that they don't have much savings. Most of them don't. They live day by day. And by withholding wages to the hired worker means that you are depriving that individual of providing food on the table for himself and his family. And therefore, God says, unlike anyone else in the land, as my people, you must not do that, because I am a God who provides for all people. You shall do likewise. And likewise for verse 14, the call to not curse the deaf and put a stumbling block before the blind. He's simply saying, do not take advantage, especially for those who are physically, mentally, have some form of disability. Because in the ancient day, people would take advantage of these people because they're vulnerable. But God says, no, you shall not do that as my people. Unlike them, God calls us, just like what Job did in Job 29:15, to be the eyes to the blind and the feet to the lame. Now, what does it look like for us today, for us to be caring for the vulnerable? For those of you here who have domestic helpers, do you treat them as part of the family, as one of the people that you're called to care for, to love? And if there's no difference between how they are treated in a Christian household in comparison to a non-Christian household, then something is off. Because we are called to care for those, especially those who are foreigners in our land. Do we see them and do we love them like how God does? for them. For those of you who are business owners, who work in commerce, do you sell, do you promote products and services that actually help your client? Or do you sell and promote them because it helps your sales targets? Or for most of us here, as we explore this beautiful city, Singapore, as we come in contact with those who are foreign workers, who literally built our city, how do we see them? How do we interact with them? Do we see them with eyes of compassion, of love, of gratefulness for the wonderful things that they have done for our land? Or do we try to avoid them? Do we try to see them as someone who is not part of Singapore, when in actual fact, they are an integral part of Singapore? These are some things for us to think about as we read about how God's heart for the vulnerable. See, in the ancient Near East, there aren't many laws that protect those who are vulnerable. In the ancient Near East, all the laws, they don't protect vulnerable people. But in God's kingdom, He makes a clear distinction. All people shall be provided for, shall be protected. And that's the reason why, as God's people, we are called to do likewise. Verse 15 and 16, it talks about injustice done in a court setting. Court setting. Now, as I mentioned just now, when there's a crime that occurs, there will be a court hearing. The judges of the court hearing are elders of the village. So they're not professional judges like Pastor King Yao last time or in lawyers, but they are local elders of the village where the crime was committed. So these are local people from the village, and the witnesses play an important role because they determine the outcome of the court hearing. And the witnesses are also from the village. So you begin to see how things can be manipulated. Because it is likely that the accused know the judges, the witnesses, and likewise for them to know the accused. So it's very easy to actually go either ways. Whether you try to favor the accused, or you can take out grievances on the accused. For example, if the accused was your neighbor, and then you are judged, and you're like, this person never clean their stuff next door, dirty my lawn or whatever lah. So you take personal grudges, for example. So God is saying here, you shall not do any of this. You must be impartial in the court setting, because ultimately it reflects who God is, as someone who is impartial, someone who is a just God. And therefore, He calls His people to do likewise. Finally, verse 17 and 18, it talks about what to do when someone wrongs you. What do we do when someone wrongs you? God tells us in verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly. Jay Sklar, a scholar, theologian for Leviticus, says, in the Bible, hate and love often refer to hateful or loving actions that express our heart's commitment. So over here, the focus is not an emotion, but action. So God is calling us, don't conduct and commit any hateful action towards your neighbor, but instead, do this. Reason frankly. Now, for some of you, you may be thinking, what do you mean by reason frankly? The word used here is yachar. It's this idea of making known the wrong done with the goal of restoring peace. Making known the wrong done with the goal of restoring peace. Now, let's pause here for a moment. In the world we live in, if someone wrongs you, what do people usually do? They post online, they shame them, they cancel them online, they block them on Instagram, right? They don't talk to them. But God calls His people. Unlike everyone else, as my people, you are called to make known the wrong done with the goal of restoring peace for the relationship. And it provides the reality for the rest of the world to see who God is, as one who desires to bring shalom, peace to the world. And ultimately, it being fulfilled through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why He calls us to do that, because we are signposts to who God Yes. You know, there's this movie and TV series called The Purge. How many of you know this show? The Purge? Maybe the younger ones know. In Young at Heart. In this make-believe world, in this TV series, every year there will be one day, 24 hours, that allows people to do whatever they want, and it's legal. So that means all the crimes, they are all legal for the 24 hours in this make-fictional world. And so you begin to see all these terrible things that people do, revenge, crimes, most heinous things that are deep in the hearts of people, it comes out for the 24 hours. But what's most interesting is that they actually wear a mask. They wear a mask. And the purpose of wearing this mask is so that they cover up who they are, so that nobody recognizes them. As they do these crimes, they can get away. After 24 hours, they take away the mask, and they live life as though everything is normal. And when they put on the mask, it's like what this picture says. It's as though they are playing God, that they determine what is right and wrong in their own eyes. Sounds familiar? Book of Judges? Where they wear the mask, they do whatever they want. As I think about this, it reminds me of ourselves sometimes, that when we choose and when we live a life that is not consistent with what we say we believe, we are like wearing a mask. We determine what is right and wrong. We live our own ways. Especially in private moments, we put on the mask. And then we take away the mask after that and think everything is okay. Hallelujah. That's what happens when there's inconsistency with our lives. See, friends, integrity in the Word ultimately is grounded in the fear of the Lord. But integrity in the Word of God is grounded in the fear of the Lord. When the law is removed, we see the sins of people coming up. And so we are not guided by the laws of the land, but we are guided by the fear of the Lord. That is the fundamental basis of what gives us the ability to live with holy integrity. Without the fear of the Lord, there is no holy integrity. And that's something we must come to face and recognize. Do we live with the fear of the Lord? Not in the sense of like, oh, but yes, there is an aspect of that. But more than that, it is the fear of wanting to walk in God's way in view of what the wonderful things that He has done for us on the cross. It is through that we live in the fear of the Lord, that He is coming back one day. He will be judging the living and the dead. And one day we will come to God and we have to be accountable to the lives that we live, the gifts that He has given us, the calling, the resources that He has given to us. How have we stewarded them? This is what it means to live with the fear of the Lord. Because He will return. Proverbs 5:21 tells us, "For men's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all His paths." So keep that in our minds as we go forth from here, as we think about how we live our lives on the private matters, because it is also a way to be a witness to the world. Because especially in the world we live in, integrity is something that is far and few. But as God's people, He calls us to live with that holy integrity. I mentioned earlier about how we are called to stay true to God by obeying God, by being consistent with our private and public life. And over here for the second point of how we are called to see true in our actions, ultimately, it is founded on the basis of our fear of the Lord. You know, as I invite the worship team up this morning, one of the pastoral burdens that I have for us, all of us know that we are called to live with integrity, huh? Let's be real. All of us know the Bible calls us to live with integrity. But the hard part is how to do so. How to do so, especially in such a world that we live in. And one of the practical ways we can exercise and apply what we read in Scripture this morning is that integrity requires community. Integrity requires community. Because we can't walk this journey, we can't live with holy integrity by ourselves. It requires a community surrounding us, to cheer us on, to remind us of a life beyond this present. I myself am in community. I believe no matter whether you're a leader, whether you're a pastor, every single one requires to be in community. Because in community, there is accountability for the life you live. So I have my own CG. I'm part of a CG. Whatever the CG asks me to do, I will do. That's part of being in a CG. I don't lead it. My wife leads it. Besides that, I also lead a few MGs. And these MGs are meant to help journey together as brothers in the faith, so that we don't do life alone together. And of course, I also journey with those who are older than me, those in MIC, those in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, of learning from their experiences, learning from the wisdom, from the life they live, so as to finish well. And so this morning, the pastoral burden is simple. Integrity requires community. And so if any of you here who are not part of any form of community, whether it be in a mentoring group setting, whether it be in a community, a CG, I want to encourage you to begin that journey of establishing yourself into a community, because you can't do this alone. You really can't. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you after the service to just come and meet any of the staff or pastors so that we can begin this journey of getting you connected to a community. As we come to a close this morning, usually the pastor, the preacher, would ask you to call for a response, right? But this morning, God gave me a very clear message that this morning, the response call is not primarily for the congregants. It's first and foremost for the leaders of the church. And so I want to invite the pastors who are present here at Bukit Panjang to come forward. And I want to invite those who are leaders, whether SGI leader, ministry leader, board member, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet right now, wherever you're at? My friends, the call this morning is simple. That as we desire to live a life that is with holy integrity, it starts first and foremost with the leaders. And that's the reason why I asked them to stand, because they represent the church. And this morning, I want to invite the congregation, wherever you're at, to stretch forth your hands right now, to pray for anyone who's standing near you, whether they're a leader or the pastor. Would you stretch forth your hand? I want to give us a minute right now to just pray for them. To pray for them that they would live lives filled with the fear of the Lord, so that they represent, they exemplify what it means to live a life set apart for God, and in so doing, inspire you, the congregation, to do likewise. So would you pray for us this morning? Pray for us, because we need your prayers. So let's take a few moments to do so. Father, as I stand here together with the leaders and pastors, God, we ask of you, Lord, would you grant us a fresh outpouring of your Spirit? That as we lead, we start by living. As we lead, we start by living. Living a life that is filled with the fear of the Lord. So that as we lead your people, that there will be a deep sense of credibility that stems from the fear of the living God. So at the end of the day, that we can finish well, we can encourage your people to live a life of holy integrity. So would you help us this day by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you all stand to your feet right now as we ask God together, each and every one of us, for God to empower us to live with the fear of God as we sing this song as our declaration to Him. I will build my life upon this rock.
And I will build my life upon your
firm foundation.
It's a firm foundation.
Put my trust in you.
I will put my trust in you alone. And I will,
yes,
not
I will build my life
ashamed.
Upon your love.
And I
one more
will
time.
Not be shaken. I will build my life upon your
name. Yes, Lord, I will.
It is a
say this as an I will. I will to the Lord.
I will put my trust in you alone.
I will. Integrity in the world is grounded in the fear of the law, but integrity in the Word is grounded in the fear of the Lord. People of God, today's message leaves us with a choice to make. Do we choose the integrity of the world, or do we choose the integrity of the Word? Do we choose merely the fear of the law, or do we choose to be grounded in the fear of the Lord and so walk in integrity? Let's take a few moments to make that choice before the Lord. Dear Lord, ground us in holy fear, a fear of the Lord, where we know that we live under you as our all-loving God, under you as our all-knowing God, under you as our all-seeing God, a holy fear out of which we walk in integrity, an integrity that knows your ways, that trusts your ways. Even when the world's ways seem to bring quicker gains and seem more attractive in every way, enable us, O Lord, now choose an integrity that prefers your ways, obeys your ways in all the days of our lives. That we walk in an integrity that enables us to live in this world shining for you, giving glory to you by the choices that we make and the lives that we live, all unto your glory. Now, church, I invite you to lift up our hands to the Lord as you receive the benediction. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you as His people. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.